Daf is Daf Lamed Daled. Today, learning is sponsored by the Felder family in honor of parents, children, and grandchildren. So, the bottom of Lamed Gimel Beis, we got to the new Mishnah. We're now up to the discussion of Arava. Yesterday, we discussed Hadassim. Now, we're talking about the Arava. Actually, we discussed Arava yesterday. No, Hadassim is yesterday. Today is Arava. So, Mishnah says Arava Gzula Yevesha Psula. If an Arava is stolen, as we know already, Lachem, it's possible. If the Arava is dry, that's possible as well. Shel Asher V'Shel Nidachas is also Psula, as we've seen before. Niktam Rosho, if the top of the Arava was snipped off, that's, or Nifritsu Aleh, or the leaves fell off, or Tzaptava, which we'll see on the Gemara, a particular type of Arava, these are all Psula. Rashi says Tzaptava is a min Arava, v'ala shala ugl. He just focuses on the fact that the shape of the leaf is circular as opposed to an oval. That's what he focuses on. The Gemara actually says there are three different qualities that make a Tzaptava stand up, but Rashi, for some reason, chooses only one of them. And the Rashi says that the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk to prove that this Tzaptava type of branch is possible. Kamusha is a case where it's not dry, but you know when they revel after like 2 days, the green leaves begin to they don't wither, but they get, they do look dry, but they're still green, but they get very, they shrink almost. So that's kamusha. I don't know how they say this in the art school, but that's actually acceptable. That's good as long as it's not dried. V'shenishu miktas aleha. And if some of the leaves fall off as well, that's also acceptable. V'shel baal ksheira. If it comes from the baal, what's a baal? That's a sadha. Normally, arava comes from the from water, right? Along the river is where aravas grow. But if it, let's say, grows in a land that's very plush, very moist, very wet land, that would also be acceptable. Shel shabal is referring to a sadeh that doesn't require any type of irrigation. It's just naturally very wet. Rashi points this out. Rashi, six lines up from the bottom, baal karka she'eino tzvich al hashkos. You don't need to water. It's naturally wet. The rain comes, it's enough to rain it. You don't need irrigation. That's called a baal. Rashi explains why it's called a baal based on the Gemara's tinus. That it's full. It's a full like a baal, like a husband. So there's an Indian of that tzada is acceptable as well if you find the ravos on such a field. So that's the Mishnah. So Gemara now says, quotes from the pasuk Tanur Rabban, Arve Nachal. What does Arve Nachal mean? Hagedelim al Hanachal has to grow on the water, along the water, river banks maybe. The Davar Acher, alternatively, Arve Nachal is not referring to where it grows, rather the shape of the leaf. Sha'ala shala mashuch kenacha. The leaf is shaped like a river, which means it's more of an oval as opposed to a circle. It's elongated like an oval. Two different drushes. Now, what's the nafkamina? So, Kapos Tamarim points out the nafkamina is between these two drushes based on what Rashi says in the bottom here. Rashi says, Arve nachal, two lines up. Arve nachal hagedelus al hanachal, nachle mai mitzvah bezu. According to the first drasha, litchatchila, one should choose the ravos that grow along the water, mihu shel baal ksheir. If it comes from the baal, which is the field, that's also acceptable bidi evid. The second drasha that learned arve nachal is referring to the shape of the leaf, that would seem that even litchatchila, one could take a ravos that grow on the baal, on the sadeh. So that would be the nafkamina according to the Kapos Tamarim's understanding of Rashi. Then the Gemara brings another brisa of this drush of Arve Nachal. Tani Idach, yet another brisa says, Arve Nachal, ein li ela Arve Nachal. I only know that which grows along the river. Shabal, shel harim, if it grows in the field, it grows in the mountains. And how do I know that's included as well? Tamalomar, Arve Nachal, mikol makom. Wherever you could find the rubbos, as long as it fits the other criteria, as we'll see shortly, that would be acceptable as well. So Gemara now says, the top of Laman Dal Amun Alf here, Abishal has a different understanding of this drusha of Arve Nachal. It says in the pasuk Arve Shtaim. Arve implies two. Which two aravos are we referring to? Achas lelulav veachas lemikdash. There's one which we take with the dal minim every single day, but there's another arava which we'll see much later on in the I think the fourth parak. We talk about arava that used to go around the mizbeach and the base of mikdash every single day. It was kind of like hoshanas. They go around the mitzvah of arava. That was the learn from Arve. One is a lulav and one is a separate mitzvah of arava. Look at Rashi. Rashi in the top says Abba Shaul Omer Arve Damar Kra Lo Lahachshir Shabalba. Not coming to allow one to use from aravos in the field, that wouldn't be allowed according to Ba'abashal. Only an arava on the nachal would be allowed. Was arava teach us, or arvi come to teach us? Elelamedcha shitzarach shtei mitzvah shel arava achas la'agda belulav v'achas la'mikdash la'hakiv es hamizbech. That's the understanding according to Abashal. So now we can flip the question now, according to the Rabbanan, asks the Gemara, L'mikdash minalo, what's the basis of the Arava, the mitzvah Arava, according to Chachamim? They can't use it to tell me from the word Arve, because that Arve is already used from the previous discussion, either referring to the, that just like you could get an Arava from the Nachal, you could also get it on a Sadeh. So what's the basis of this mitzvah Arava that's found in the Mikdash? So Gemara answers,
Hilchasa Gemilu. There's a tradition. We have a halacha, the Moshe Mesinai, the Amar Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Yochan, Esther Netiyos, which I'll explain in just a second. Arava, V'nisach Amayim. These three mitzvahs are all halacha Moshe Mesinai. So we see that Arava is not based in a pasuk; it's based in halacha Moshe Mesinai. So they both agree the concept of Arava exists. There's a mitzvah, but they just debate where is it based. Is it based on the pasuk Arve, or is it based in halacha the Moshe Mesinai? So what exactly is Esther Netiyos? We know what Arava is. We just discussed briefly. We'll see later on in the Masechta. Nisach Hamayim is when you pour the water on the Mizbeach during the 7 days of Sukkot. So also debate which days you pour the Nisach Hamayim on. So what exactly is Esther Netiyos? So it's very appropriate. Today is the second day of Elul. So there's a mitzvah of Shemitah that you have to start Tosefes Shemitah. It starts already Rosh Chodesh Elul. Yesterday is when Tosefes Shemitah starts on a Deraisa level. Now even though you can't plow during the first 30 days, these 30 days of Elul before Shemitah, you can't do any plowing. There's a special Loch HaMosh V'Sinai. If you have Esther Netiyos, which means 10 little trees within a certain area, you're allowed to actually plow that area. It's a special heter called Esser Netiyos. Rashi goes through the various details and the measurements, but that's another halacha Moshe Sinai related to the halachas of Shemitah. But again, among these three is Arava. And that Rashi points out, we always have halacha Moshe Sinai going in threes. Threes are here. We have another example of threes. He mentions of Shiurim, Chatzitin, and Vechitin. Those are another category of three. We always have them grouped in threes for whatever the reason might be. Vayta in the Gemara now, 5 lines down, says the Gemara. Tanir Rabbanan, Arve Nachal Hagadelos Al Hanachal, that you have to have a revels growing along the river. Prat Letzaftefa Hagadela Ben Haharim, that as opposed to the Tzafta, which grows between the mountains, that's not acceptable. So why not? Amrib Zera, my Krav, what's the Pasuk? Kach al maim rabim, taf tvas shmo, sama rather. So it's a bit of a tricky understanding what the pasuk means, but the interpretation according to Rashi is that Hashem wanted, we'll see in a second, it's referring to Hashem, how he viewed Klal Yisrael. He viewed them as a rava, which is full of water, kach al maim. However, they decided to kama tzaftva sama. They decided to be a tzaftva, which is something that doesn't grow along the waters. So the fact that the pasuk says, kach al maim rabim, kama tzaftva sama, he was placed as a tzaftva, sound like tzaftva, is an inferior type of species of a rava. And therefore, we don't accept it as a rava. It's a different category. So Gemara says, how do you know? Amar le Abayim. Who says tzaftva is different than that which grows on the Maim Rabim? Maybe Dilma Prushe Kamefarish. Maybe the pasuk is describing what exactly is Kacha Maim Rabim. What is that which grows in water? Maybe the answer is my new Tzaftva, says the pasuk. Gemara says, if that were to be the case, Imkain my Samo. What's the word Samo? That's an extra word. Tell me Tzaftva Samo. Somehow that's isolating Tzaftva from that which grows on the water. So from this pasuk we learn Tzaftva is not what we call an Arava. So Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Amarti, Sheyeh Yisrael Lefanai, Kekach HaLamayim Rabim. I want Klal Yisrael to be like a nation that's full of water, which I assume is referring to full of mitzvahs and Torah. U'mayniu Arava, that's what I wanted, that's what I expected. However, Vehein Samu Atzman Kitzavtzva Shebaharim, they made themselves, they situated themselves like being placed between the mountains, which I guess are dry, which don't have the qualities what I expected of them. That's somehow the drasha that's being articulated in this pasuk in Yechezkel. Others have a different interpretation. They view this pasuk, they applied the pasuk to the braisa. That's the pasuk. Maskula Reb Zera. The Dilma Prushe Kamefarish Kacha Maim Rabim My Niu Tafseva. Imkain My Sama. It's the same exact idea we just said, mentioned before. Amar Rabbi Abo. Amar Kadosh Baruch Ani Amarti Shehu Yisrael Lefanai Kikacha Maim Rabim My Niu Arava Behein Tamu Atzman Kitzafseva Shebahar. So that's the Joshua. That's the basis of this psul. Now the truth is, it's not really a pasuk. I mean, it's a pasuk, but it's not really the reason why it's pasuk. The reason why it's pasuk is because, as we're about to see, there are different qualities of how the arava and tzaftva look. Now perhaps from where it grows, it's going to then dictate how it appears, but it's not simply where it comes from, it's really how it looks. So what's the difference of arava versus tzaftva? So Gemara quotes a braisa and says, Tanya Rabbanan, Ezehu arava, ve'ezehu tzaftva. How does one distinguish between an arava and a taftava branch or a tree? So arava kanashala adam. It's red. The branch of the arava is red. V'alashala mashuch. And the leaf is pulled, which means it's not a circle, it's an oval. And a piu chalak. And the sides of the leaf is very smooth. Now taftava kanashala lavan. It's white. V'alashala agul. And the leaves are circular. Upiu domer lamagal. And there are it's not smooth edges. They're like little serrated edges, it looks like, on the side of the leaf. So these are three different qualities that make the tzaftva different than that of the arava. Now the Beit Yosef has the following suffix. Is the fact that you have to have
it red makes a rava, or is it lavan that makes it pasul? Meaning many times you look at a rava, they're not so red. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're green. So they're not red, so maybe it's not an arava, but they're not white. Maybe it's not going to be tafsava either. So the Beis Yosef says the focus is on white. White makes it puzzle. If it's not white, it's still acceptable. If it's green, it's red, it's still good. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. We just said that a tafsava branch, a leaf of a tafsava, is domu lamaga, which has these serrated edges to it. We have a brayso that says domu lamaga, it's similar to a sickle. So that's kosher, that's actually acceptable. But if it's domu lamaser, if it's similar to a saw, that's possible. So what's the difference? We have the stira. If it's similar to a sickle, it's good or not good. There's a stira. Now, what's the difference between a sickle and an axe? So Rashi explains, I don't fully get this. There's different interpretations. But it seems that a sickle, the serrated edge of the sickle, the point, faces one direction. But that of an axe, the different types of axes, it's more like each blade is a square. So there are two points on each end. It's not only a point. It's not just a point like that. It's a square. Like this would be each blade. And therefore, you have a point there and a point there on each of the soa. Look at Rashi. Rashi says this. Rashi says, Vatanya, last medium wide line down. Rashi says, Vatanya, domer lemagel kosher. If it's like a sickle, it's acceptable. Magel ksir, a sickle used for harvesting. Pigimoseha, the knives, the blades. Kula notos latad echad, akumos. They all face one direction, pointed towards klape base yachla. The handle of the sickle, all the blades face one direction. As opposed to the masa, which is a saw. He magira shikorin shiga, I don't know what that means, upigimosea, the blades, hochos nocha, vilhem shnei uksin, there are two points to two edges to the blades that are found in the saw, echad mikan, and therefore that's the difference. So either way, we have the steer. So if it's like an axe, that's certainly possible. And rather, if it's like a saw, it's possible. If it's like a sickle, we have a steer. Is it kasher or not kasher? And so the Gemara says, Amar baye, kitanya hi, bechilfa gila. So the truth is really, if there are any types of serrated edges, they're blades at all, looking like blades, that's possible. There is one type of a reva that even though they have the edges similar to a sickle, we accept it, that's this chilfa gila type of species, whatever it is. And the truth is, if you take a look at most of the ravos that we buy, most of them have very subtle serrated edges to them. You could take a look. They're not, rarely do you have it completely smooth. So the how big they are does make a difference. So the fact that we have the chilfa gila that have the little blades looking on the edges is not so crazy because we have those in our ravos as well. So the Gemara then says, okay. So Amar Bai says, we can learn from here, Shema Amina, hai chilfa gila kasher lo shana. That this type of species is good of a rava, it's acceptable because since it has it's similar to mago, but it's, even though it's not fully smooth, it's still acceptable. That's what we can learn from this halacha. Why is it pshita? Of course, that's obvious. Unclear what the word pshita should be here because it wasn't so obvious. But why would one have thought not? So mal de sema, even though it qualifies, it has the leaves are oval and it has a red branch. Still, one might have thought maybe you still can't use it. Lovi has another name. It's not called a rava. It's called this chilfagila. Maybe that won't be good enough. Lo niskasher kamashblan, since it has the qualities of a red branch and an oval-shaped leaf, even though the sides are like a sickle, that's acceptable, even though it's not called an actual rava. Maybe it should be unacceptable. What's the basis? What's the pasuk that allows us to use such a rava? So Gemara says, Arve nachal amrachmana mikomakum. We don't care. It doesn't specify which type of species. As long as it grows along the riverbanks, so that would be acceptable. In the end, it's a bit confusing from the Gemara Halach L'maisa. Is the psul the fact that where it grows from? Does it grow in the Nachal versus the Sada? Or is it psul of how it looks? It's a little bit challenging how to navigate through this. But either way, whatever revels we have, that's all. Those are all acceptable. Mar now says in the bottom here, we've been talking about different names of Aravos, a Chilfa Gila versus a Rava. So Gemara points out the following thing. Am Rav Chista, Honi Tlas Mili, Ishtani Shemayu, Michi Chareva, Beis HaMikdash. The following three things have changed its names from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Chilifta, Arafta, Arafta, Chilifta. That which we call the Chilafta, which is, I guess, a Tafsava of some sort, now that's called a Arava. So we switched the term how we refer to things. So why that is, unclear. My nafkamina, who cares? Gabi which halacha? Gabi lulava. Because you have to know what's called a tafta, what's called a rava. So the fact that the name somehow changed is very, very important. Shipura chatotrasa, chatotrasa shipura. Once upon a time, the shofar, which is referring to a curved shofar, chatot is referring to a straight shofar. So that is, the terms have been changed. We have to know which one is which. My nafkamina, the shofar, shirash shan, because you're supposed to use a curved shofar. Now on this piece, Chabad Sofer says something very interesting. He says, the idea here that the switching of the terms of a chatotos and shofar, the relevance is because the Gemara tells us that on a tainis, you're supposed to blow chatotos, which are straight.
And on when it comes to Yovel year, you're supposed to blow a curved shofar, which indicates Cheres. So the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Cheres, the curved shofar, was the that was the ultimate. And the Tainus, the straight one, we don't want to, it was not a time of Tzara. But now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, we live in an Eis Tzara, so now we have to focus actually on the Tainus, on the straight shofar, as opposed to the curved shofar, which is the time of Cheres. We're in Galus now, we can't celebrate Galus. So it has something to do with that switching of Cheres versus Tainus in Tzara, is the, what's being indicated by the switching of the name, is a Bishas Churban Beis HaMikdash. The third thing that switched names was Psurta and Psora, and Psora Psurta, which is one referring to big, one referring to small. So how we call big, how we call small, those terms have also swapped somehow. The Bai Nafkamina, what's the difference? The Gabe Mekuch Memkar, if you want to buy a big, I don't know, a big steak, you have to know what big is, what small is. So these are three items that have changed over time from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Again, each one has, I'm sure, its own reasons and own depth to understanding why they changed. So comes along now, buy it. Abai Amar, or Amar Abai, Af Ani Omer, I add a fourth term that was switched, Bekasa, Hovlila, Hovlila Bekasa. It's referring to different parts of the animal's stomach, the intestines. I don't know exactly what the parts are, what they're called in the art school, but those were switched as well. The Mainaf Kamino, who cares what you refer to the different intestines of the cow? The Machat Hanimsa, Bove Besakosis. If one, when they opened up, they shechted a cow, they found a needle that was in a particular area of the cow, that could render it a trefa. So you have to know what the different terms are to know where the needle was found, to whether or not that indicates it was a trefa or not a trefa. And then comes along Rava Bar Yosef, he adds he had a fifth term that was switched, Amar Rava Bar Yosef, Afa Niomer, I would say Bavel Bursif, and Bursif Bavel. These are different countries that change the names as well. Who cares what the countries are called? The Mai Nafkamina. Our answer in the top of Lamed Dal Amud Bey is Lagabe Nafkamina Legite Nashim, because there's halach. If you look at Rashi in the very top, based on the beginning of Maseches Gittin, that maybe get me chutz laretz, tzarach sheyomar b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. When a person delivers a get, he must state that this was signed in his presence, it was written and signed in his presence. And based on different reasons, either because the people were not bekiyim the Shema, so you have to make sure if it came from some random place in India. No one there knows how to write a get. So if the aid says, I saw it done in front of Dayan, who knew what they were doing, so that's the one reason. Or maybe because Ein Mitzu in the Kaima, they weren't able to have aid them to establish that this was a good get. Either way, the din is you bring it from Eretz Yisrael, however, where there's no concern of bekiyim the Shema. Everyone there was a Talmud Chacham, so we knew it was done properly, so then you would accept it. And then the Bavel has the same din as Eretz Yisrael as being a place of B'nai Torah. The people there also write a get on the Shema. So if you bring a get from Eretz Yisrael or from Bavel, you don't necessarily have to say B'fai Nechtam, B'fai Nechtam. So it's important to know what's Bavel, what's not Bavel. That's an afkamina of the different names changing over time.
Are these okay. Intentional changes? Or are they just
not sure exactly. I don't know. Now the Mishnah tells in Lamed Aleph Mabez as follows on the top here. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, now we've discussed all the lachas except for Esav. We discussed the Lulav, we discussed Hadassim, we discussed the Ravos. We're now having we're interjecting with all four together, and we're coming back on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis to refer to Esav. Esav is going to take the most time to discuss the various psulim of an Esav. So now the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shlosh Hadassim, Rishtei Aravos, Lulav Echad, Ve'esog Echad. So the din is Rabbi Shmuel says, you need three Hadassim, this is how we paskin. This is actually the Shita of the Rambam. Not everyone holds this way. I'll tell you the other sheet this in just a second. Two Aravos, one Lulav, one Esrog. Then Rabbi Shmuel has this very strange comment. He says, Afilu Shnaim Ktumim Ve'echad Eino Katum. So even though he requires three Hadassim, he says that two of them could be cut off the top, and one requires to be full. And the Gemara is going to ask, I'll just foreshadow, Rashi foreshadows this already. So Rashi says, wait a second. If you require three, they should either all require be Katum, or rather full, or if you don't require Katum, all three on. Not with the top, but to have one with a full and two snipped off, that doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara is going to answer, Bishmael actually retracted on his requirement, but at this stage right now, Bishmael requires three hadassim, three full hadassim, and then this cryptic statement, which we'll return to. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Afilu Shlosh and Ketumim, he says you require three, but he says three that are all cut off are also acceptable. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kishem Shalul of Echad, Ve'esog Echad, Kach Hadas Echad, Rava Achas. Now the truth is, Rov Rishom, this is probably a bit of a shock to us, Rov Rishom actually hold, like Rabbi Akiva, that's enough to have one Hadas, one Arava. Even though the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, you need three Hadasim to Aravos, most Paskin against that. But the Shulchan Aruch says you should have three Hadasim to Aravos. So there's a big Nafkamina. It happened, apparently, a number of Chuas discussed this, where a person said that Bracham Dal Minim, he realized he only had two Hadasim, missing more than the third Hadas. you have to now say a brand new bracha or not. So according to the Rabbi Shmuel and the Rambam's psak, you'd have to say new bracha. You did not fulfill the mitzvah with two hadassim. You need three hadassim. But according to Rabbi Kiva and Rov Rishonim, you would not have to say, you could not say another bracha because you're ready yotze with just one hadas. So what do you have to be paskin? The Shulchan Aruch says you need to have three hadassim. So the Chida says, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you need three hadassim, since Rov Rishonim said you have to have just one, so you should not say, you should shake it again with all three hadassim, but you should not say another bracha because something brachos lahak. So now the Gemara says, what's this machlokas? How many hadassim, how many revas do you actually need? The Gemara says as follows. Tanya, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, pre-eitz hadar achas, that's one esog, kapos, tamarim, it says kapas, is one also. Now, even though we call it kapos, it's written as kapas, that's echa, that's one lulav. Anuf, eitz avos shlosha, Rashi explains the drasha there, it says three words, anuf, it says the word eitz, there's the word avos, that's three, that indicates three hadassim. And then arve nachal implies two. Arve is plural. Shtaim. That's the basis for Rabbi Shmuel. V'afilu shtaim ketumin. Even if three hadassim are cut off the top, v'yachad sheino katim. That's acceptable. Again, we'll return back to that statement in a few lines from now. Rabbi Tarfon Omer shlosha v'afilu shlosham ketumin. He's agreed to the drasha of eight avos as three, but he argued and that said you could have all three with the top cut off. That's also acceptable. And Rabbi Kiva Omer Kishem Shalulav Echad V'esog Echad Kachadas Echad V'Rava Achas, like we saw in the Mishnah. So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer Yachal, one would have thought Ye Esog Imam Baguda Achas. One might have thought that just like we wrap the Lulav and Hadassim and Revels together, maybe you should put the Esog along with it as well all together in that same Eged. So one would have thought this. Gemara says V'chi Nemar Pre-Eitz Hadar V'Kapos Tamar V'alo Lo Nemar Ela Kapos. There's no Vav. The way the pasuk reads is as follows: It says "Lakachtem lachem b'yom harishon pre-eitz hadar kapos tamarim." Had it said "zi kapos tamarim," the vav would have connected the esog to the lulav and all the other ones. But it does not say the letter vav; it just says kapos tamarim, indicating that the esog stands separate than the other medium, and therefore, therefore you don't put it together. Now there is an interesting taz. I forget who he quotes from, but someone had a dream about the Hashem, Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud was separate from the Hei and the Vav Hei, and he had a terrible dream, and there somehow was a remez that you're supposed to put the Esog, although it's not in the Eged, you have to have it attached, touching the other Dal Medium, based on the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't find this as a Taz, him talking about Yud Kei Vav Kei as often, nor do you have him talking about dreams either way, but that's a lacha that you should have them touching each other when shaking the Dal Medium, even though it's not actually in the same Eged. So then the Gemara says, "Uminayin shemakin zed." How do you know that all four are necessary? One without the other is not. One has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Tamalom lekachtem shetei lekicha tama. That should be complete. It should be full. Full means all dal minim. If you're missing one of them, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah. Now look at Tosfos here. Dibur maschul arve nachal shtaim. That the rebels have to be two.
That's breaking the word. It's saying it's lekach tama.
Yeah, it's breaking the word in half. Exactly. And then the Tosfos says, "Arvei Nachal Shtaim V'Afilu Nosin Kama Hadassim V'Kama Aravos B'Lulav." Let's say a person wants to take 7, 8, 10, a lot of Aravos, wants to take a lot more Hadassim. Are you allowed to do this? He says, "Ein Zeh Bal Tosef." You're allowed to. It's not considered Bal Tosef. V'Afilu Man Damar Tzerech Eged. Even the one who requires an Eged to wrap them together, Elam Kein Tov Mosif Min Acher. Only if you add another type of branch in there would be Bal Tosef. But to add additional Aravos, have additional Hadassim, that would not be a violation of a Bal Tosef. If I recall correctly, I think the Meiri actually brings down a Deah that some would actually do this, add more Aravos in that in the Eged. The reason being, because Aravos could get dry very easily. So we oftentimes buy multiple Aravos because by day two, day three, it's already dry. They put like a bunch in case this one's dry, that one's good. So it wasn't crazy for people to have more than two Aravos or more than three Hadassim. Pi Kabbalah, I think some have more than three as well. Now the Gemara says further, halfway down the Amud here, Rabbi Shmuel Manashach. Manashach, he says, if you require three full ones, Libai Namikulo. Rabbi Shmuel was the one in the sheet in the Mishnah who said you require three Hadassim. And he said it's okay if two were Ketumim and one was Einu Katim. So Gemara said, well, it doesn't make any sense. If you require Shlemim, all three should be Shalim. And Ilo Bai Shalim, if you don't require Shalim, Afiluchad Namilo, then you shouldn't even have to have one Shalim. It should be all three are Katim or all three not Katim. How do you have this as a hybrid? So Amar Bira, Amar Rebbe, Rabbi Ami, Chazerbo, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel retracted what he had said, that initially he had said you require three Hadassim, and then he went back and said you only require one Hadassim, and that's what he meant. You could have three, but you really don't need three. All you really need is one, and that one must be Eino Katim. The other two, The other three, whatever you want, they can be whatever you want, because it's not part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah really is only once. What comes out from all this, actually, which is interesting, that Rabbi Shmuel holds one hadas, and Rabbi Kiva holds one hadas as well. It's only the Shita Rabbi Tarfon who requires three hadasim. We pass in seemingly like a das yachid here, that they're requiring three hadasim. We'll see in just a moment, though, why we pass like Rabbi Tarfon. Because the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k Rabbi Tarfon. We pass like Rabbi Tarfon. That's how we know you require three hadasim. If you oz the Shmuel atame, oz Shmuel is the Shitaso, Damar Lahu Shmuel, Lahanu de Mizabne Asa Ashu Vizina. Very fascinating, a Shita of Shmuel. He told those who would sell Hadassim, make sure you keep the prices Ashru, the equal price. Don't hike up the prices just because now it's Sukkot and all the Jews need Hadassim. Don't raise the prices. I know there's a greater demand, but Shmuel says, please keep the price the same, Vizvina, and sell that way. Because he loved, if you don't do that, I'm going to darshan luchu ki Rabbi Tarfon. I'm going to pass like Rabbi Tarfon. I mean, the shita here was you require three full hadasim, which are very hard to find. It's a high demand, and the supply is very low. That's going to indicate a very high price. Shmuel says, don't change your price, because if you do, I'm going to make a public statement. We pass like Rabbi Tarfon. You could get three hadasim without missing the top. That's very easy to come by. So don't do that. So we see from here that we do pass like Rabbi Tarfon, that you can have three, that even though the three are ketumim, it's still acceptable. My time, what's the reason? Because Elam, if you're telling me Bishum Demeka, he was trying to be lenient and just kind of threaten the sellers for some religious look or Bikiva. He should possibly have Bikiva to make Kotay that's even more lenient, that even one, you just have one Hadas. And that would be more makel. So why didn't he go the most extreme to Rabbi Kiva? Must be because really, possibly Rabbi Tarfon, Mikra Din, that three are good enough, three that are custom. Or it says, not true. Not necessarily true. Maybe he was threatening them, and maybe he did not really possibly like Rabbi Tarfon. But he couldn't hold like Rabbi Kiva, because maybe it's harder to find one custom than it is to find three Enoch, rather, one Enoch custom might be harder than three Enoch Ketumim, as the Gemara says. Ketume Shchichei. Chad v'lo katum lo shchiach. It's easy to find hadasim that are katum. It's very easy. But to find one that isn't a katum is very hard. So that's why Rabbi Tarfon was really the most makel. It's not necessarily a raya that Shmuel Paschal Rabbi Tarfon. He was simply trying to threaten them, don't change the price. Now this becomes a very interesting gemara because of boycotting. What do you mean boycotting? There's a discussion whether boycotting, you're allowed to change the prices of things. You could say we're not going to buy that item until you lower the prices. So some posts can bring this as a raya, because they had a discussion, it came up a couple of times apparently in history, that the non-Jews would raise the prices of fish, because the Jews would buy them Erev Shabbos, and they, oh, wait a second, the demand is high, let's raise the prices. So they asked the Shah, the Temech Tzedek, and the Kavachim, they asked them, could we avoid buying fish, so they could lower the prices, and they said, you're allowed to lower the price, you could avoid this mitzvah of fish and Shabbos, just to have the prices come down. So some posts can bring this as a raya, that Shmuel Paskin, that he was willing to Paskin Rabbi Tarfon to be more makel in order to drive the prices down. So this is one of the rayas of a boycotting, at least when it comes to changing of prices. So now let's finish off this Mishnah. We're going to pretty much read through the Mishnah because we're not going to appreciate it, because the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time the next few days going through all the explanations here, and Rashi doesn't give us much here either. So we're going to just kind of rip through this Mishnah, and then we'll call it a day, and Emir Tashem continue tomorrow. So the Mishnah says in the bottom here, Lamadal and Rabbez, Esog hagazel, if it's stolen, we know it's pasul. Hayavich, if it's dry, it's pasul as well. Shel sheirav, shel inedachas, it's pasul. Sher arla, if it's from the first 3 years of a fruit tree, it's pasul. Because since you can't eat it, the esog has to be edible, achila. So it's not edible the first 3 years, it's pasul. Shel chuma tamea, it's pasul since you can't eat it. Shel chuma tahora, loyito, you shouldn't take it because only a kohen can eat it. Im not of you do take it, it's kasher because it's still considered ochel because someone can eat it. Shel demai, beishami poslim, the beishil machshirim. Shemai Shasheni, which we must be taken to Yushalayim, if it's Yushalayim, lo yitol, you shouldn't take it lechachila, vimnatol kasher, it's acceptable. Also, chazazis, some type of blemish develops on the esog, arubov, and most of the esog has this chazazis, or nutla pitma, or pitma, so you took the pitma off, or niklaf, or the peel began to come off, or nistak, it was cracked, or nikaf, it was a hole, v'chaser kosu, it is missing a little bit of the esog came out. All of those are examples of pasul. However, also chazazes, if this blemish came on only al miuta, only on minority, only a small part of the esog, or not to ukso, the end, not the stem, not the pitum, but the stem comes off, or nikav, there's a hole, a person puts a needle, let's say, in the esog, velo chaser koshu, but nothing of the esog actually fell out, there's just a hole in there, those are all acceptable, those are kashu. Esog hakushi, a very dark green or perhaps even black Esok is possible. Hayarok, if it's green, very green, kikarsi, like that type of shade green, Rabbi Meir, machshir, he allowed, Rabbi Huda, posel. If the shir esok hakatan, the small shir, what would you accept for tiniest, the small shir, what would be acceptable? Rabbi Meir, omer ke'egos, if it's the size of the egos, that's acceptable. Rabbi Huda, omer kebeta, his shir was a kebeta. Ubegada, how large could a esok be and still be acceptable? If you hold two esrogim in one hand, that's big enough. But that's not very big. But the Rabbi Yehuda, but we possibly Rabbi Yosi Omer, afil echad b'sheyadav. Even if it's so big that you need two hands to hold it, like the Yemenite type, that's also acceptable. So that is the mission. So let's quickly recap what we did. We discussed the various psalm of the Arava, what dry, stolen, and whatnot. We had the discussion of Arve Nachla referring to where it grew, or perhaps the shape of the leaf, or also referring to maybe Abashal referring to the Achas Belulav, Achas the Mikdash. Rabban said the Arava B'Mikdash is based on not on the Pasuk, but based on Halacha Moshe Sinai. We discussed in Tzavtzva, that's Pasuk based on the Pasuk, Kach Amayim Rabim, Tzavtzva Samo, that's Pasuk. And we described the different qualities. Arava is a red branch, a oval shape, and a smooth edge. The Tzavtzva is a white branch, a circular leaf, and a serrated type of edge. And then we had the three different things that change over time after the Beis HaMikdash. Chalafta Arava, Shipura Chatzotzra, and Purta Psura Psurta. We add another one of the different parts of the intestines of the cow, then Bavel and Pursif, and the different Afkminas. Then we have the Machlokas and Mishnah Mabeis about how many Hadassim and Ravos you need. Everybody agrees one Lulav, one Esrog, but Machlokas whether you require three Hadassim or only one, and two Ravos versus one. We brought the different Psukim to prove each person's point. And then Rabbi Shmuel retracted that he really only required one in the end of the day. Then the Mice of Shmuel, who, because he was concerned of the hiking up of the prices, he was threatened to pass on Rabbi Tarfon, who seemed to be the most makel of three that are all katam. And then the long mission about the various psulim of an esrog. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.